This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Hahn Podcast.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, hour number two.
The power.
Nah, man.
It's always the power with this next guest, man.
It is definitely
power. Because this is the hot season. He's going to be the hottest person going on television
before
for the next 4 months.
All over him, and I already feel bad for Mel. Before you jump all over him, I just want to say that we are coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 right here in the heart of New York City. Okay, with that out of the way at the ESPN studios, we do go. This is for teams like Mel Kiper Jr. joins us right now. Mel, how you doing? I just want you to be prepared because Bart is he's fired up right now after reading your very first mock draft. But I do want to point something out. The other day, after watching the Dallas Cowboys, I tweeted something that now I regret. I said that it's easier to root for a team that perpetually sucks than it is for a team that finds new ways to rip your heart out. And then I realized, as I know you were coming on, I'm like, that's not easier because every year it's who are they going to draft and how are they going to screw this up? And that's also a misery unto itself. So I begin with that part of it as we looked at your mock draft. And that's where Bart now wants to jump in. Because as you know, a team near and dear to his heart, the New York Jets, have two top 10 picks. So do the Giants. So in New York, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I know the Eagles have three picks. That's also important to them. But Bart sees a pick. He sees your mock draft and he sees who you have them taking at 10, and it's Drake London from USC, the basketball player who also obviously is a big, big target wide receiver. I don't mind it, but Bart's got a major problem with it, so I think he's going to need you to explain.
Bring it on, Bart.
Mel, first of all, I'm starting at 4. Okay. And listen, we have the Jamal Adams debacle that happened, and, you know, disgruntled, wanted money.
Now, Hamilton is the safety from Notre Dame Mel has.
And I understand they need a safety, and I understand with high, but in free agency, there's going to be so many good safeties out there. I just do not want to go down this road again. I feel like this team needs a veteran safety. We shouldn't be breaking in a new safety. You know, I just don't see them taking that. I hope because this is the problem, Mel. This is why I get so emotional. People listen to you. They try you. You put it out there. You might have just moved this kid up the board.
Well, he doesn't need to be moved up the board. He's already up the board. He's just questioning who does he go to, Bart. He doesn't need any help from me, Kyle Hamilton, who you're referring to. Of course, he had that injury in late October, as Drake London did. So, ironically, two kids that were injured, one on October 23rd, one on October 30th, I had both going to the Jets. Both also have one other thing in common, great length, which is very important at any position other than quarterback or running back. But I think when you look at where the Jets are, you mentioned they had Adams. They don't have him now. And you say, okay, well, who would you take instead of Hamilton at that point, Bart? That would be my question. Yes. And also, remember, you mentioned free agency. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball to know who they're going to sign and not sign at positions. That's why we have 5 mock drafts when we get to that 5.0 the morning of the draft to make sure I account for changes, and you're fluid with this because as soon as you're right, Bart, as soon as they lose a free agent, they gain a free agent, all these needs change and all these projections change. So this you can't write this in pen. Okay, it's got to be in pencil, and you got to know that this is basically an exercise to get players in the right range as opposed to trying to nail team to player, which even on draft day is almost impossible to do for more than 5 or 6 first rounders.
Well, Mel, I hate when you use facts to put me in my place. Like, now I'm ready to be all emotional. Now you just got me all calm and stuff. And now I'm used to being jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Minutes ago, he was ready to attack, Mel. That's
what I asked Bart a question, but he didn't give me an answer. I said, instead of Kyle Hamilton at 4, Bart, who you took exception to,
yes,
who would you take it for? Or who would you project the Jets to take it for? Well, if it was Bart Scott's Mach 1.0.
Well, for me, I know that I would rather give them Stingley because I feel like it's harder to find somebody that can be a lockdown corner in this type of defense. So I would rather get them the lockdown corner than the Swiss Army knife, which is a safety that can impact the game in so many different ways. But also for me, I think the Jets need, it may be a little bit too rich for them to take a center. But to me, you talk about building a bully. You talk about Mekhi Becton on one side, Veer Tucker on the other side. I think you complete the side by going for Tyler Linderbaum. When you see the impact that Creed Humphreys has had for Kansas City, I think if you get a guy that can get to the second level, this is an organization that has had greatness at the center position. When you think about Moai, Nick Mangold. Mm-hmm. I think this is a guy that can get to the second level, built in like the Kelsey type of mold, that can be a guy that can pull, that can get to the edges, that can be tough enough. And I think I'd rather them even – I know Tannen may be a little bit rich, but when you look at the impact of what they've been able to do, Creed Humphreys, I think that changes the narrative about tackles.
No, it's fair. Stingley at 4, Linderbaum at 10. If you're going to take Linderbaum at 14, you'll love him as an anchor that can go play that position for a long time and be right in front of your franchise quarterback and help out your offense and solidify that position. If you hope Becton can maintain the right weight and maintain all that ability and maximize all that ability at left tackle, Fant right tackle, if you retain him, obviously you still can do some damage through the draft at the guard spot, but then you need a receiver at some point, so you pass on Drake London, so you don't get the tall, you know, angular Plaxico Burris, Mike Evans type receiver, and then of course you don't get, you know, Kyle Hamilton. You get the corner, and Derek Stingley Jr. is talented, but he hasn't done anything since 2019, and he's a polarizing figure in this draft for that reason, guys, because you haven't seen him play at a high level since 3 years ago. 2020 didn't do it. 2021 didn't do it. Injuries, all that, shutting it down. So I agree. The talent of Stingley is enormous. He had 6 picks, 15 pass breakups that year. Looked like as good as it gets coming out of cornerback, but the last 2 years haven't gone the way you would have hoped, and that's why, like I say, there's some teams that are a little all over the map on Derek Stingley Jr. right now.
Nothing better than a great debate there. Again, two minds that certainly have done their homework and know what they're looking at. Mel Kiper Jr. joining us right now with his first mock draft out there, and just to mention it, Mel has Tyler Linderbaum, who Bart would love to see the Jets take at 10, the center from Iowa. He's got him going, Bart, to the Ravens at 14. So there's another team near and dear to your heart.
And that's obviously a great fit. Mel's a Raven fan, so he understands.
Oh, stop. But correct. The point I'm making is, though, is that 14 is not that far off from 10. You call it might be a reach, maybe not. Maybe you want to make sure you act. So just certainly one to keep in mind. Mel, we always talk about quarterbacks in every draft. Mm-hmm. We do. But this is certainly not considered to be a quarterback draft. However, there are quarterbacks in this draft that could be interesting, and there are teams that are in the search of them. So who do you have as quarterbacks to watch that potentially would go in the first round?
Well, Malik Willis is the most interesting because he's so gifted, and he didn't have a great year. You know, he had some games where you say, wow, what's going on here? 3 picks against Middle Tennessee State. The week later, 3 picks against Louisiana Monroe. He was like 40% against Louisiana Lafayette. 3 picks against Ole Miss, but Ole Miss outmanned them. I look at Malik and look at him 2 years ago in 2020. He was outstanding. He had his moments this year, but he's got – and I talked to a linebacker in the SEC about him, Chance Campbell, and said Chance said he was a heck of a linebacker at Ole Miss. He'll probably be a fifth-round pick, fourth-round pick this year. And Chance said, it's tough to tackle him. He said he was very deceptively strong, deceptively fast. He said, I went out right to him after the game and said, man, you're really good. You're really good, Chance told Malik. So this kid has that ability, and I think you roll the dice on talent. I went with Willis slightly over Pickett. Kenny Pickett from Pitt, moved him down to the Saints, had him slightly ahead of Matt Corral, had him to the Steelers, and all these Steelers fans are saying, hey, we want Kenny Pickett.
Right.
Well, I think if you want Kenny Pickett, you may have to move up just a bit.
Now, Mel, you know, we understand that it's a copycat league. Mm-hmm. And 2 years in a row, we've had dynamic linebackers that were picked early. And Michael Parsons and what he did this year as far as revolutionizing the position, not only from his ability to play inside mm-hmm. as a linebacker, but also outside. But the year before, Isaiah Simmons haven't really worked out, right? He was the do-all linebacker, safety, corner, inside linebacker. He's playing situationally. How has those two prospects changed maybe the dynamic of the first round and reemerged the importance of the interior inside linebacker?
Yeah, and the way that Parsons goes about his business, he's just a phenomenal talent, and he had an opt-out year, remember, last year. So
yeah.
That was a year where are you fresh or are you rusty? I'm big in, Bart, you played the game, and you know, I'm big into fresh. I mean, your body can only take so much, and you have a year away. Hey, Jamar Chase didn't play either. Look what he's doing. So these opt-outs, they weren't rusty. They were just ready to go physically. You know, guys that came off of a long year, were beat up. So these guys came in fresh, and they're ready to roll. And I think with Simmons, he got better, and I think he will continue to improve it. Sometimes versatility, you don't know where you're going to put a guy. Sometimes I always say too versatile for your own good. Are you good at a lot of things but not great at one? I think that's what you have to define with some of these versatile guys that can do a lot of things. David Ojabo is a kid that everybody's raving about. Pass rush talent coming out of Michigan. I gave him to the Giants, but he's a one-year guy, only 5 years of football. I would have liked to have seen him go back. He didn't. So he's got the majority of his tackles for loss were sacks. In the run game, he's got to upgrade. But he's a kid – to go to your pass rusher is David Ojabo from Michigan, who was opposite Aiden Hutchinson, wreaking havoc all year, and he's a kid. Somebody's going to roll the dice on that talent and the kind of ability he has getting after the quarterback somewhere in the top 10.
Now, you mentioned obviously the 7 pick for the Giants. They also have a pick at 5, so they got picks 5 through 7. They have two of them. We don't know who's making those picks, though, right now. How does that factor into when you're slotting different players into different places for different teams? Would the mindset change when they make a hire? Do you change the way you do the mock? Or are you just basing this on the obvious need, which you have the tackle going from NC State.
Right.
You have him going at 5. So you just obviously they need help with the offensive line. That's not going to change. How does that work when you're dealing with teams? Like, we have several of them, Chicago as well. They don't have anybody in the front office either.
Yeah, you go by the needs and the scheme. If it changes, you adapt to that in Mach 2.0 or what have you. And Ike Ekwonu is a heck of a player. I mean, he's a kid who was a dynamic left tackle, dominant. I mean, he was just destroying people in the run game, blowing them off the ball, and he was not beaten in pass protection. So Ekwonu was a kid a lot of people say, oh, he'll be a guard. You know, he's not 6'6", 6'5", but he's got the length, and he's got the feet, and he has the want to. And he's a kid that will help an offensive line dramatically. Can be a right tackle, guard, left tackle, whatever you need. He can be that guy. So I thought for the Giants, he would make sense. And then getting the pass rusher opposite Ojulari would be something to look at as well. But you're right. Once they define their GM and their coach and their schemes and all that, it makes it a lot easier. But you got to put somebody there, and you base it strictly right now on the needs.
You know, Mel, I parachute into college football because, I went to 13th grade. I really didn't go to college and talk about Southern Illinois really wasn't a powerhouse. But, you know, when we look at the impact of the wide receiver, and I feel like the wide receiver translates now a lot better than it used to, much like the running back used to, because they get so many opportunities to get reps, to look at, you know, different coverages and things of that sort. Now, we've seen Justin Jefferson come in and turn the league upside down, and we've seen Ja'Marr Chase come in and do the same thing. Is it a guy like that this year in this draft?
Well, I thought it was Jamison Williams. Of course, and he had the ACL, and he was off and taking the top off of defense every game. And with his speed, and I loved his competitiveness. You call him a warrior, what he was doing on special teams. Just an outstanding football player. He was as much of an MVP as anybody. Got hurt with the ACL. I think New England could look at him thinking, hey, he's not going to be there at 21 if he's not hurt. We would have not seen Jamison Williams. He would have gone to somebody at 6, 7, 10, somewhere in that area. Now we can get him. If we have to wait a little bit, so be it. I really thought he was the guy. Love Drake London, the comps to Plaxico Burress and Mike Evans, I think, are accurate. There are some other kids out there, though, that are going to – wide receiver is going to provide some talent. There's going to be some guys that I think end up being really good players. But I think Jamison Williams, once he's healthy, will be a phenomenal player for somebody. And to the question about the rookie, look at Waddle, look at Devontae, look at with Chase. All these kids are putting up numbers at coming into the league the way the game's played at the collegiate level now.
You answered the last question I was going to ask you, which is Williams and him getting that injury in the championship game and what impact it would have on his draft status. You got him at 21 to the Patriots, not a bad place.
Well, let me say this, Alan. You're right. Some teams told me second round. I just made the call to say 21, but I had, you get some intel. That's what you do when you do these mocks. Todd and I do this. We talk to our friends in the league. It's not what we think. It's not what our ratings are telling us. It's what the league. Now, I have to go back and trust my ratings. If it's one saying first round, one saying third round, I got to try to make a call there. But in Jamison Williams' case, I had to make a call because some were saying second round because of the ACL, happening in January, not early in the season. So, but I just felt like, hey, if you're New England, you know what they need. Mac, and he wasn't a teammate of Mac Jones. Remember, he was Ohio State, then Alabama for this 1 year. But I think the Belichick-Saban connection is real. It makes sense. He trusts Nick's players. And Jamison Williams is, as I say, a warrior who Belichick would want. And we know they need a wide receiver with that kind of ability to help out Mac Jones in the coming years.
Yeah, he just seems like that guy to watch in this draft.
In that case, I hope that the Jets take their early second round and maybe a fourth round and move up in front of New England and steal it from them. what's crazy, Mel? Like, this year is the tight end pool the most shallow position in the draft? What's the weakest position in the draft that's just top heavy or not, just doesn't have a lot of depth at all.
Safety's not good. It's a pretty good year for corners, but the safeties, it's just not a lot of depth there. After the first four or five, good luck. I mean, you got to really do some good scouting to find somebody there. Trey McBride, I gave to Green Bay to go back to the tight end from Colorado State. He's as good an all-around tight end as you'll find. And I think for Green Bay, who's always for Aaron, and we don't know what Aaron's status is going to be after this year, but Idem winning the Super Bowl, we'll see if they do it. Now, you're not going to get rid of Aaron when they win a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer's, I think, the only quarterback left after winning a Super Bowl. But, Trey McBride is a really good player. And Tanyan's coming off an injury. He's obviously a free agent. So I think McBride would help that Packer offense with Rodgers moving forward. And if it's not Aaron, Jordan Love's sitting there saying, hey, he's kind of become what Aaron was to Brett Favre, just sitting there waiting for his opportunity. Aaron waited until year four. Jordan Love may have to wait till year four. Who knows? Maybe year five. We'll see what happens with Aaron. But Trey McBride at the end of the first round, I think, would make sense for the Packers.
We got McBride at 32 right now in the mock draft. Mel, it's always great to talk to you. Your passion's off the charts, and I love the fact that you had Bart, like, he was foaming at the mouth when the conversation started. You have him so mellow, so calm.
He's my melatonin.
All it takes is a little bit of facts.
Instead of Mel Kiber, melatonin.
You got to chip it, guys, like Bart. Well, you got to chip early, calm them down, and then have maybe bring McShay in to help me out if I need it. You know, bring Jordan Reed in to help me out if I need it.
We got
to get a lot of guys to handle Bart Scott.
Well, trust me, I know.
I hear you, Al.
All the best. Thank you so much, Mel.
Have a great week, guys.
All right. He's fantastic, man.
Yeah, he is.
Are you satisfied with the answer he gave you about the pick at 10, about the wide receiver, but also about the safety at 4? Like, he just told you, safety, you're not going to find many.
Yeah.
So when you can get them, you get them. And they're going to need one.
Yeah, for me, I mean, but the thing is, it's a great year for free agency for safeties, right? You think about Bates. You think about Marcus Williams. In New Orleans, they can't pay all these guys. They're kind of under it with the cap. So some of these guys are going to have to walk away. I'd rather get a veteran because, you have to teach a rookie all over again. C.J. Mosley, Carl Lawson isn't getting younger. You want to have a dominant unit. You want to kind of mix with the type of veterans. And if you have one that's an impact player at every level, I think it helps you tremendously. So we'll see. We'll see how they go. But I love Mel and his passion. And it kind of gets my spider senses going. Like I said, I parachute in, to college football. And, he's educating me on some of these guys before I start breaking them down on film.
Yeah, and do I want them to take a safety at there? No. I mean, and he's got the Giants going offensive line. Makes sense. And the kid he's talking about is dominant. And then he's got them going with the linebacker, the edge-rushing linebacker type personality. So
I'm a little nervous, too.
I'm still wondering what the Giants are going to do in their front office. 1 and 2 is probably the easiest in this draft.
Yeah.
You're taking both those dudes.
Now, both of them may not be great, though. That's the thing, right? Remember, who was it, Clowney and Khalil Mack? And if you could do that over again, you would have go Khalil Mack, not Clowney.
That's a fair point, yeah. No, that's fair. But, I mean, he's got Aiden Hutchinson going 1 to Jacksonville. Jacksonville with back-to-back number one picks. And then of course, Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon going to the Lions. And – there after that, then it's just, it's offensive lineman, quarterback, not a big quarterback draft, but still could be an interesting one for certain teams, including the Steelers.
I love a Joe Bill, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was better than Hutchinson. Quick, twitchy. And
he's got him just going to the Giants.
He's just scratching the system. He's just scratching the surface.
And you saw, too, what he said to you, which that's why I love when you guys talk, because I sit back and listen. You brought up you mentioned Tyler Linderbaum. You mentioned the need for the Jets at get them a center. You mentioned Nick Mangold. All those things. You were there. You saw it. Mangold, Brickashaw, Ferguson. Those two, they didn't go.
And Alan Faneca. Left side, strong side.
Then they signed the free agent, right? They bring in the vet. But the fact that they had that kind of a draft to start building the wall, and then Mark Sanchez had these guys in front of him, it helped him perform.
Right.
So that's what you need now. For Zach Wilson is to get him the center that now for the next 10 years, you hope, these two are together, and Linderbaum could be that guy. He had him at 14 going to the Ravens. That's not far off from the 10 where the Jets sit. Like you said, if it's a reach, it's a reach. It's a need. I've never understood that. Why call it a reach when it's a need? I need that. I'm going to get the best one. I have the ability to do it.
And you see what Cree Humphrey is doing. All pro. Already. All pro. For Kansas City, he's trusted to protect the most valuable quarterback in the league, the highest
not
paid,
just protect
half,
him.
Half a billion.
Yeah, but it's not just protect him.
Right.
There's more to that position than it is to protect. As Jeff said, I'd love to talk to Jeff Saturday
about
sliding
it. Sliding in line, getting in line, especially for a young quarterback, when you have somebody that can see something and be able to get you in the right protection.
Yep.
Oh, man, that would be great for the Jets.
No doubt about it. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got a great tweet that I wanted to read here because when we were talking about Corey Neal said this. Now, we were talking about upset alert and all that stuff, and you said the Bills, the Chiefs could be on upset alert because the Bills are coming in. They're trying to slay their dragons. They beat the Patriots. They've already had the experience of losing at Arrowhead in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And Corey Neal put a picture, and I totally forgot about this until he showed me the picture. Remember when Stephon Diggs stayed on the field and watched the Chiefs celebrate? And there's a picture of Diggs just standing there, hands on his hips, watching the celebration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of those where you're right. It's probably a little more personal for the Bills going,
Remember Isaiah did that. You know, it's like, you know, like
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did that with Boston.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that's – remember in – what was that? Was it Rocky II? Creed! He hit Creed! I think that Buffalo all season has built up to this moment. And what happens is I think the Chiefs didn't even know they had beef. They're going to figure out how just personal Buffalo takes this matchup because this is their white whale. This is their dragon that they have to slay. And they built this team in the offseason to beat Kansas City. Unfortunately, before that, they would have to go through some physical teams, but the physical team is going to be at the end with Tennessee.
Do me a favor. I got the alert. Go get our lunch.
Absolutely.
All right. Meanwhile, 888-SAY-ESPN.
I got that straight talk?
I got it for
you. You going to take the straight talk?
I got it for you. Footprints.
We going to Sizzlers. We going to Sizzlers.
Footprints. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. We got your calls. And also coming up, a former AFC East coach who has seen Tom Brady a lot. Sees a young Tom Brady, here we go again, in one of these playoff quarterbacks that you'll see this weekend. We'll discuss that and more. But first, I do want to tell you that cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 silver unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days, of course. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
All right, Bart. I'm not going to screw it up this time. But first thing I know, I do have to tell everybody, as I say hello and welcome, it's Bart and Han, presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. I was very embarrassed about my faux pas yesterday at this point of the show.
It was Monday.
I was
it
just
was
like,
it was not Monday. It was our first day.
It was a Monday
back.
For us.
It was our Monday.
And I was jumpy. I was a little excited, a little fired up. I'm going to get it right this time.
Yeah.
Because we've done a lot of talking. We've talked with headline makers, of course, as well. But right now, we're at that point of the show where we stop talking. We let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio Files.
The Audio
Files. You hit it right.
Oh, I felt good about that one. I really, really felt good about that one. I feel good about this segment as well because we've been getting all the comparisons.
Yeah.
Everybody's now the next Tom Brady. We thought it was Mac Jones. Not so much. Who's the next Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah.
Rex Ryan knows.
He reminds me of Tom Brady, and I've
been... Man, let me do that again. Rex Ryan knows. And you know who he says it is?
Oh, who?
Joe Cool.
Ah, with the pink.
Macaulay Culkin.
With the pink. I hope he's
Cincinnati
not.
Bengals home alone.
Yeah, I hope he's not.
Joe Burrow.
He reminds me of Tom Brady, and I mentioned that earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it. His mannerism, but his leadership, and in the biggest moments, this guy is the calmest, and he's got just a hired killer mentality, and that's what he reminds me of Tom Brady. And look, he's going to make his own tracks in the league. It's going to be, we're going to be, you know, 10 years from now, we're going to say, this guy's the next Joe Burrow. I think this guy's got what it takes to win multiple championships.
Multiple championships.
It's a franchise, the right franchise to get him to multiple championships, because Carson Palmer was also a first Carson Palmer. He was a
damn good
quarterback.
Yep.
And they ruined his career as well. So I wonder who has the better career when it's all said and done from a wins-loss standpoint. Does Justin Herbert have a better career than Joe Burrow? Because of the organization is more outfitted, and also the location of where they play,
yes,
attracting the talent in free agency to win. Oh, that's the question, right? Because they both have great competition within the division. Herbert's going to have, you know, Mahomes, and Action Jackson is still in that division as well.
League's in a real interesting place with some
it
of
is.
These young quarterbacks, right? You're seeing that second wave starting to come. All right, meanwhile, though, there's still the old guard. They're still the GOATs. Tom Brady's
won. Will they ride out into the sunset like Shane or no?
Well, here's what's funny. Is that so today on Get Up, they were discussing something that they were just kicking around during the meeting.
Yeah.
And it came up, whereas, you know, could Tom Brady just walk away this year? Like, what more is there to prove for him? And was it Ninkovich? I mean, one of them said, yeah, I could see it happening. And it's like, can you? Well, what more is there for Tom Brady to play for other than he just wants to play because he can at a high level. He knows he can, and he's happy.
He doesn't want to be in the pickup line with the kids. That's not as exciting as playing a childhood game and proving everybody, putting so much distance.
But Bart, if you could keep playing at a high level, you keep playing. If you like it,
if you
love the competition, you do that. It's when you realize I can't do what I like to do or what I need to do, like Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, it's Weekend at Bernie's with him to finish the season. Like, he knew he was done.
Yeah.
Tom Brady ain't done, but I don't think he walks away until he feels like he's done. I'm wasting time. I need to get to, though, the other GOAT, and that is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. The question is, of course, as others have said, Kimberly Martin said it, Dan Orlovsky said it, this Niners matchup, not a great matchup. You've pointed that out as well in the past. Could this be Aaron Rodgers' last game at Lambeau as a Packer? Could it be his last game as a quarterback? All those things still very much up in the air, as Aaron Rodgers did talk about possible retirement.
I think football mortality is something that we all think about. And we all think about how many opportunities we're going to be afforded moving forward. And each one is special. Each season is different and unique in its own way, as has this one been. We're not going to make it bigger than it is. We've gotten this far being level-headed and even-keeled and not riding a roller coaster of emotions, and we're going to keep on doing the same thing.
I imagine that if he wins a Super Bowl, does he say, all right, I'm good? I kind of feel like winning a Super Bowl, not losing, would push him to thinking, I can leave on top with no regrets.
You saying leave on top from Green Bay or leave on top from the game?
The game.
No. Just, you forgot how arrogant this guy is, right? He wants to make sure that he can go to that second level. I told you, it's levels to the Hall of Fame, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Tom Brady up top, but then you still have the Peyton Mannings, the Drew Breeses, even though Drew Brees only won one. Then you have the guys like Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger.
And
John Elway.
Isn't he over pretty much all those guys?
He's not better
than
John.
If he gets a second ring?
John Elway.
Yeah.
He's not above Peyton Manning. Nobody looks at Aaron Rodgers like, oh, he's greater than Peyton Manning. And what Peyton Manning did with his records and all the things that he's done. Remember, Aaron Rodgers started 4 years behind.
Yes.
So even though he's 37, he's really only 33 as far as time. Mm-hmm. Those guys never miss time. So their records are far greater, even though Aaron Rodgers throws the ball, maybe the game has changed as far as throwing more. But he has a long way before he gets to Peyton. He has a long way before he gets to John Elway. So I think he wants to get three. Because if he gets three titles, that puts him in rarefied air.
He's already 37, and he needs two more, you're saying.
Right, but his body's only 33.
You're going with the mileage part of it. Okay, I understand. Okay, all right. So that's how you see it. Understandable. You've had memorable interactions with media when you were a player. No one will ever forget, of course, the can't wait moment. We've talked about that many, many times. You and Sal Palantonio. It lives in infamy. I mean, not even infamy. It's just one of the most famous post-game interviews ever. Have you ever, though, and I know we did talk about this, you had a time where you tried to do a little media boycott. You didn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah,
you got mad.
Yeah.
But have you ever had, like, a real nasty exchange in an interview session with a reporter?
No, I never had that. I never had that. Jim Rome and what was his name?
Jim Everett.
Brian Lee. Yeah, Jim Everett.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah. That's a famous one for sure. So you've never had that. I want you to listen to this exchange between Leon Draisaitl, who's a star for the Edmonton Oilers of the NHL, and Jim Matheson. And Jim Matheson, everybody needs to understand, is a Hall of Fame sports writer in Canada, based in Canada, Edmonton. Mm. And Matheson is somebody that is revered in the business. He's seen it all. Gretzky, Messi, covered them all.
He's like Bob Costas.
Any name you want to say. Like, he has seen everything.
Yeah.
Right? Very interesting exchange. As the Oilers, let me just set this up. The Oilers got off to a great start this year. They have had these perpetual seasons where they have two stars, him and Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
And yet, they fall short all the time.
Like,
this
Cowboys.
Pretty fair, because Edmonton, I mean, the Oilers are one of the most revered franchises in Canada. Right. So, listen to this exchange. As the Oilers got off to a good start, and now they've lost, I think, six in a row. They've lost 12 of 14. They're plummeting again. And so Jim Matheson, I call him Matty, I've known him a long time, decides he's going to ask one of the star players, like, what's going on with this team? And the exchange got testy.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying, we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
No. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa.
Love it.
Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the fact that, and this is, again, when you're as experienced as Matty is.
Follow-up.
Oh, no, I have a follow-up. I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
You know, and then to say to him, like, why are you like this? Now you could think, wow, that's a report. It's really grandstanding. No, again, this is a guy who's in the Hall of Fame. He's covered this sport for 40 years.
Yeah.
He's seen, and he's covered the greats of the game. You know, again, Messier, Gretzky,
like Peter,
all of them.
He's like Peter King. He's a historian.
Great, great comparison. And so Draisaitl then just giving him, the first question was normal. Giving him that kind of an answer, that you are telling the world, I am not made for this.
Yep.
My team is struggling. I can't answer questions. I'm supposed to be the star player and one of the faces of this franchise, and I can't answer questions, and I'm going to be like that to the media?
Yeah, be a pro.
You watch. The Oilers have to have a decision to make, man. You might have to split these two up.
So they're like.
It's not Tatum and Brown.
No,
wait a minute. Actually, it could be. It could. That's not
they
bad.
Fighting over who's the lead dissolve.
It's, you know what it is?
Batman.
Westbrook Robin. And Kevin Durant.
Ooh.
In OKC. It's sort of like that. Where you're going to regret it, but you're going to have to do it, because they just don't win. And they have two of the best players in the league. But one of them might have wrote his ticket out of that town. Because if you're picking one, he's the guy you're getting rid of.
He with
not
the pen controls the narrative.
Mm.
So you better be perfect. If not, he can poke every hole, that every mishap you have, he can highlight.
Like I said, and him saying, you know, well, you know everything. Mm. Hey, Leon. Yes, he does. Because he's seen everything. Show some respect, kid. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Put some Gretzky on his name.
888-729-3776. So who should be on upset alert this weekend in the divisional round? We want to know from you. Again, at Barton Hahn, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Did you see the ratings for the wild card round?
Through the roof? Nothing like foosball.
So the Cowboys-Niners game got the best rating. And you would expect, because that was really...
And that's a historical matchup.
It's a great matchup, right. It's got some history to it. It's also got two huge fan bases. Right? The Cowboys are all over the place. Their fans
are Northern California, pretty much.
And CBS had it, but also Nickelodeon. So you had that aspect, too. That was kind of fun. But it was the most watched NFL wildcard game on any of the networks in 7 years.
It's crazy, right? Because think about CBS. They're used to getting the AFC games, and they got gifted an NFC game because of the flex.
Did you hear Troy Aikman as their game was ending? He's like, yeah, there's some people that wish that they were doing that game. He wanted so bad to do that game. Because, you know, for him, Cowboys 49ers has some real history to it.
Yeah.
But that game, the last game that had that kind of a rating, all right, they had – so it's a 41.5 million viewers was the average of the Dallas-San Francisco game. The previous game that did better, it's – 2015, Cowboys Lions. Look at
what?
Look at Detroit just showing up.
Detroit? Yeah, oh, man, we gonna watch. We gonna watch.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that did it.
Now the biggest part of that game was the ending, right? Like, you know, 14 seconds slide, can't get the spike, don't hand it to the official. All the things that happened at the end of the game, a lot of drama. At the end of the game, that's when the viewership peaked. There were 50 million viewers.
Ah.
So if you're thinking about
it. You know what? Because Twitter hit, right? You saw all the memes of the Dallas fans. And people like, what's
going
on?
4 minutes to go.
Turn this on.
Uh-huh. You see all the crying fans. And you're going, wait. Something's happened on this game. We got to catch up to this, right? Yeah. Like, that's what that was. It was later in the day, too, on the East Coast. Remember, that was also, the 4:20.
4 o'clock is the perfect time.
Right. So that was probably around 7 o'clock. Yeah. So you're getting a lot of the country settling in. Those 1 o'clock games for most of the country is an earlier start.
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. So now that we see that, and we knew, again, Dallas is always going to draw viewership.
I like where you're going with this, Alan.
What do you think will be the most viewed game this weekend? It's Cincinnati, Tennessee, that's a 4:30 Saturday. Nope. Green Bay, San Francisco, that's the 8:15 Saturday.
Nope.
Rams, Bucks is 3 o'clock Sunday Eastern time now.
Nope.
And then Buffalo, Kansas City is a 6:30 on Sunday.
That's the one.
That's the one, huh?
That's the one.
Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
What quarterbacks look better than those two in the opening round of playoffs?
Well, you don't think Tom Brady, Rams, L.A. market? You don't think that 3 o'clock on a Sunday?
The Bills Mafia.
Think
and right
that.
Now, Patrick Mahomes.
I think you're wrong.
It's the Steph Curry of football right now.
That's not a bad comparison. I think you're wrong, though. I think Tom Brady will draw a lot of eyeballs, and remember, that's at 3 o'clock. So even on the West Coast, that's still one. And it's a West Coast team in the Rams. And there's Odell, there's Stafford, there's some stars on that team.
6 o'clock.
Six
o'clock is 3 o'clock
I completely understand. But Buffalo, Kansas City, does that game translate across the map?
Yes.
The way Tampa
star power
with Tom Brady,
star
Tampa
power.
Star power on the Bucks.
No, what I'm saying is, it's one thing to have star power. It's one thing to have the best players, and the best players are on those two teams.
All right. Well, what do you think at Bart and Hahn? Which game are you going to watch for sure over all others? Let us know. Tell everybody I'm right. See you in 10 seconds.
I like that. I like that. That's a little head bob right there, right? Is this? Is that what this? No, this ain't that.
Not, but I just like to
But I'm with you, though, right? This could be like a remix of Whose World Is This?
It's mine. Mm-hmm. It's mine. You know, Nas is going to open up. He's going to be the first artist to sell rights to his music through NFTs.
Smart.
Totally cutting the middleman out.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, the world's changing around us. As we speak.
Yeah.
It's getting more and more like Demolition Man. I just hope Taco Bell ain't the only restaurant that survives. As everybody want to get in the Megaverse and put the virtual reality world. Like, I can't afford to be balling in two worlds. I'm struggling to ball in this one.
Wouldn't that be amazing? You just throw on the VR glasses and then you're living in some other world and it's going to cost you.
Yeah, you're talking to Beyonce. Like, nah, bro. At the end of the day, it's like the Matrix. At the end of the day, you're still in your living room.
Would you
in your
ever
whack
though,
ass house?
Think about this though. Right, you're wherever you are. You're in your single, like, one room apartment somewhere. Right,
yeah.
But you put on these VR glasses, and now you have the opportunity, like,
to talk to stars.
Run some game with Beyonce,
with your avatar, right? Because she at the club. Like, you know, Justin Bieber was the first one to he did a live concert in the metaverse. And he was like, he performed all his hits. His avatar was driving.
You know, the NBA is trying this. The NBA is doing a thing where it's I think it's just a prototype right now.
Yeah.
Where you put them on and you can sit in the crowd.
Oh yeah, well they've been doing this for a while. This has been like two, three years they've been having
the broadcast. It's never been interactive. You are an avatar. You're not yourself.
Yeah.
And you can turn to people sitting around you.
Talk to them.
And literally talk to them. And cheer with them.
How greedy is the NBA? They trying to sell the arena out twice.
That's right. Why wouldn't you?
And beer still going to be $1,000 in the metaverse. You don't even really get to drink
it. I can't even drink it. Why would I want that beer?
You're going to have your water, and it's going to look like beer. You're going to pay $10, $22 for it.
No, man. No, thanks. Hey, listen to Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career, available wherever you get your podcasts, and brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Need to finance a home like a pro? Rocket can. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tyler's been holding for a while. He's got something to say about Bol Bol. Tyler.
Hello?
Yeah. How you
doing? What's up, Tyler?
Hey, how we doing today?
We're good.
Yeah, I just wanted to let Bart know that I'm so happy Bol Bol didn't go to Detroit, and that would have ruined his young career. He's going out to Boston to flourish. And let him know also,
yeah, how did y'all
I'm
treat
not
Taco?
The bad guy. I love you, Bart.
How did y'all? Okay, Ocho. You think I don't know that quote?
That was such a moment.
That's the best quote of
how
all
many
time.
Times
come on,
how many times did Chad flinch when Bart came over and go, no, we ain't doing that today?
I got some other film of me hitting him and chasing him around. He tried to block me before.
Thanks, Tyler.
You go to my Instagram.
Yeah, people need to say that's a video between Ocho Cinco and Bart. Yeah.
And me checking him in the slot, me and Chad, one-on-one. Yeah, quick feet. I got you, son.
I love it.
Put some respect on my game.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The next segment, next hour, dedicated to you. We've got a lot of people on hold. We want to get to your calls. We have a lot to discuss, including why do the Knicks, they had magic last year. That magic is gone.
Bing bong.
What they still need is a point guard. No more bing bong.
Bong bing.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.